Well, our Lord certainly moves in mysterious ways, doesn't he? Because in our gospel reading, we hear that Jesus tells his disciples about his impending suffering and death for the third time. But then Jesus prevents the disciples from understanding what he just told them. And then he turns around and he gives a blind man sight, both physical and spiritual sight. It seems that Jesus is treating this blind beggar better than he's treating his own disciples. Again, Jesus is just so weird. But first of all, let's deal with the blind man. We know that Jesus had been on the border of Samaria and Galilee, teaching and healing up there in Gentile territory. And now he's entered back into the Holy Land, and he's coming to Jericho with a large crowd following him. Kind of sounds like Joshua and the people of Israel all over again. Jesus, the one man Israel, is now on his exodus. The exodus that Jesus discussed with Moses and Elijah there on the Mount of Transfiguration. And like Rahab, this blind man has heard the coming crowd and of the great deeds done by the Lord. He has heard of Jesus, and his heart literally melted. And so by hearing, he believes. He ignores the grumbling and murmuring of the crowd for him to be quiet. And he just shouts out, "Son of David, mercy me." Again, I said that before. You heard it correctly, mercy me. Because in the kingdom of God, mercy is a verb. It's an action. Mercy is not just a mere feeling or emotion. And so, as a result, our Lord acts. He calls for the man to be brought to him. Now, the crowd of Israel, which was just a second ago trying to shush this guy up, they fall all over themselves trying to get him over to Jesus. And so they bring the man to Jesus, which is really the task of all of God's people. And Jesus asks the man what he wants. And the blind man asks if he might see again. And Jesus just simply responds, "See again. Your faith has saved you." The man instantly saw, followed Jesus, and was continually glorifying God. Now, there's a couple of things in regard to that phrase, "your faith has saved you." First of all, faith was given to this man by the Lord. The blind man, again, don't forget, he had heard the report of Jesus. And as Scripture reveals to us, faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. In other words, this faith, this belief, this trust wasn't generated in his own heart or his mind. Faith is not something you conjure up on your own. Faith was given to him by the Lord in the hearing. And faith is given to you by the Lord in the same way. And secondly, we're told that faith has saved him. Now, I know we just read in that English translation that it said that it had made you well. But it literally says it has saved you. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. This man's sight is not the only thing that's restored. Jesus restores the relationship between this man and the Father in heaven. He has been saved from sin, death, and the devil. And finally, I'd encourage you to look at all the other instances where Jesus uses a phrase like that, that your faith has saved you. Again, who's the one saying it? Jesus is. He's the one who can see the heart and declare great faith. We just heard that in 1 Samuel, didn't we? We look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. In every instance that Jesus declares faith to be great, I would also encourage you to look at what those who are declared great in faith are doing. They are always pleading with the Lord to mercy them or to mercy one of their loved ones. They approach the Lord as beggars. And you know what? That is exactly where the Lord wants you. Because then when you approach him as a beggar, there's no ego, there's no self-reliance, all resources have been exhausted, all other gods are found lacking, and you stand stripped and naked before the Lord begging for mercy. And our Lord gives it, or I guess I should rather say our Lord does it. For you see that it's our Lord's, this is how he operates, to love us and to mercy us. That's what Jesus' exodus is about. Jesus as Israel, Jesus as every man. He leads out of slavery and bondage to sin and into forgiveness and freedom. He offers himself as an innocent sacrifice without spot or blemish so that eternal death passes us by. His blood is placed upon our foreheads and our hearts in holy baptism and upon the threshold of our lips in his holy supper that we would be saved. Our Lord's love and mercy is for all mankind, and yet at the same time it is very individual and specific. Because again, look at the different way that the Lord treats the disciples and the blind man. He hides from the disciples. He reveals and gives sight to the blind man. But the reason is again centered in our Lord's love and mercy. I think knowing human nature, we could probably postulate as to why Jesus did not give understanding to his disciples. I think it'd be safe to speculate a little bit. Because first of all, if the disciples had a full understanding of what was to come with Jesus' suffering, death, and burial, perhaps they would have done their best to prevent it. I mean, we know Peter has already tried this. But it was out of love and mercy that our Lord spared them that trial, because it was necessary for them and for all of us that Jesus die. Now, on the other hand, if the disciples had full understanding of what was to come with Jesus' death and burial, then maybe they would have been lost to despair. The knowledge would have been too great a burden. We've already seen that the glory of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration was brief and not fully understood, and then it was hidden again because the disciples, nor any of us, can handle it. Same thing here. Maybe the burden of foreknowledge would have been too great for them to bear, leading them to despair like Judas. And so again, it was out of love and mercy that the Lord spared them this trial. But whatever the case may be, I think we can assuredly say, again, that the Lord acted out of love and mercy in specific ways to his disciples and to this blind man. And also, eventually, we do know that the disciples did understand, right? They understood after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. They understood later on in the upper room in the breaking of the bread when their eyes were opened. Our Lord loves and mercies you also. Your eyes are opened in the exact same ways. Your eyes are opened to behold, understand, and confess the necessity of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, because like the blind man, you've heard the word of Christ and are given faith to believe it. And then you approach this altar as beggars and disciples and have your eyes open in the Holy Supper, where you are given the body and blood of the Lord of the Sabbath, giving you peace that surpasses all understanding, and also gives you rest from your trespasses and from those who trespass against you. Your Lord Christ loves you. Your Lord Christ mercies you. All he has done, all he has created, all he has recreated has been done for you. And so now come and open your mouths and receive our Lord's body and blood so that your eyes may be opened and you be mercied and saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.